Yeah, it's all going to get heated again. Woo! I love drama. Don't judge me. 36 after 11. Coming up next is Dr. Guy Lamb.
You're with Cape Talk.
You know, we are very quick to make assumptions that individuals who are more prone to violence and criminal offending tend to initiate looting. It's easy to blame the bad guy at any given time, but the reality is that ordinary people join in on the plundering as well. Visuals from the brazen cash and transit heist and the dramatic shootout along the N7 on their ramp in Cape Town on Tuesday showed bystanders looting cash from a blown up delivery cash van. Now caught in 4,000 or rather in 4K are grown individuals in this video, by the way, grown individuals just scrambling for as much cash as possible and stuffing it in their pockets. And as I've said to you, I don't feel that I'm above them because I believe I would also be enticed. I love money. So the question is though, why do we do it? Why do we loot? Criminologist Dr. Guy Lamb, who joins us on the line, is going to try and give us an explanation on the psychology of looting. Dr. Lamb, thank you so very much and a very good morning to you. Let's chat about the incident that I've just referenced. In this case, or could it be a question of timing being crucial?
Well, good morning and good morning to your listeners. I mean, timing is important, but it's also about context and also about where these things happen. So, I mean, the most recent incident that you're referring to is a cash and transit incident where there's money floating around. And obviously there's a lot more incentive for members of the public or those in the area to kind of try and benefit from that situation. But it's not only money. We see it often with where there've been accidents involving trucks that are carrying goods, whether it's soft drinks or alcohol, and they crash in certain areas where they're surrounded by communities, often poorer communities, but that doesn't necessarily play a role, where, you know, individuals around see an opportunity and take that opportunity. So, you know, timing is one thing, but it's also about context and area.
Talking to that, I mean, you often find that as communities, as individuals, we try and find ways of making it sound better. I remember having a conversation with a group of my friends where some of the conversation was, can we call it looting, really? Could it just be utilizing an opportunity? Is it a crime of opportunity? How do we define these things?
Well, in these kind of cases, it generally is. I mean, most people will not loot in normal circumstances because, I mean, you go to a shop, you go and take the goods off the shelf, you go to the till, you pay for your goods and you leave the shop. But it's really in these kind of circumstances of uncertainty, but also around where kind of the morality of the context changes. So we see in these contexts of looting where there is a truck with goods of value that is in a vulnerable place and there are, you know, no police around or no guardians around or very few. And then certain individuals start the process, you know, kind of would see the opportunity and start to seize the goods, steal the goods, and others join in. And of course, those who participate in that process then obviously want to try and justify it. And because, I mean, it is a criminal act. You're stealing something that's not yours, but obviously you want to try and justify it. I mean, the same sort of logic applies, you know, in terms of not obeying the rules of the road, you know, speeding, driving under the influence of alcohol, those kind of issues. You justify, well, I don't have any other alternatives, or I, you know, need to get somewhere really quickly. That's why I'm speeding. That's why I'm jumping red lights. So it's this kind of, you know, kind of moral flexibility that often comes into the equation.
We're going to get to the details of looting, but generally, I mean, Dr. Lamb, can we say that these are the looters? Can we point out the looters? Is it individuals? Is it organizations? Is there ways of looking at them and saying, because of these reasons, you are a looter? Who are the looters?
Well, it depends from context to context. So if we're looking at specific places and specific incidences, you know, sometimes we have it where looting is an intentional strategy. And we saw that in July in KwaZulu-Natal and parts of Gauteng, where there were certain groups in specific areas where looting was actively encouraged and there were ringleaders there who did it. So there it was quite clear to define who these looters are. But in these kind of cases where there is an accident and there's a vehicle that has goods of value in it, then you're just really getting people who are being opportunistic. But of course, if you are participating in it and stealing the goods and taking them and they're not yours, you are a looter. And this is not only the case we see with trucks that have goods on, but often we see around protests in townships and informal settlements, and where you see it, there typically xenophobic type of protests, and then you see spaza shops owned by foreign nationals getting targeted, and ordinary community members will go in there and loot as well. So by taking the goods, you are a looter. But obviously, in some cases, there are people who instigate and encourage it. And I think that's where, you know, kind of one can take specific kind of legal action and police action against those individuals if you've got the evidence to do it. But it does vary. Sometimes there's leadership, sometimes there's just momentum that builds due to opportunism.
You are listening to the voice of Dr. Garlam, who's a criminologist, talking to you about the psyche of a looter, where we sometimes believe that it could be certain individuals, but he says that, it's easy to blame the bad guy, but the reality is that ordinary people also join in on the plundering as well. It could be opportunity, it could be as a result of various reasons that he has tabled. But I want to find out from you also at home. When you take values from a vehicle that is overturned, you take money from a cash in transit heist, would you, and let's be honest here, we're just having a conversation here, you and Dr. Garlam and myself, would you or do you see that as looting? How would you describe it at home? 072-567-1567. Also, would you be party to such actions if opportunity presented you? And but don't worry, you're not incriminating yourself. We're just having a conversation around here. Doc, there's an SMS here that just says, should we just let the money blow away with the wind? I say yes.
Do you want me to respond to that?
Yes, please.
well, in an ideal world in which everyone is law abiding, you know, residents and those who are in the area where the money's blowing around would collect the money and then would essentially return it to the authorities. But I mean, and that those certain rules don't apply in that context. But you do, that does happen sometimes. We have a number of honest people, not only in South Africa but in other countries as well, when they discover, you know, things that are not theirs, they try and return them. So there's a lot of goodwill in the world, and often we kind of take a negative view on them. But I mean, I think the important point about the looting is we see all the people, you know, kind of getting caught up in the moment and kind of, you know, kind of collecting the money for themselves. But also there are many people in those spaces too who don't do that, who kind of say, no, this is not possible. We don't see these circumstances where some people may be collecting and handing it over to the authorities. So it's that point about blowing away in the wind. Obviously, you don't want to blow away in the wind, but I mean, the right thing to do is to give the money back to who owns it.
Yeah. And SMS coming in from CV saying that looting can be a form of protest, Abs. Okay, maybe, Doctor, then let me put it this way. Could you explain, could people use looting as a form of protest, first of all? Also at the same time, though, one would have to note that, you know, you've got protesters and looters that are not always on the same WhatsApp group, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. I mean, there are many circumstances where looting takes place in the context of protests, where those protests get out of hand, and then you start to see things being burnt and buildings being destroyed, and then the sort of looting is often a component of that. But you do see in cases where there's very specific protest action that's taking place, that's objecting to something, and then there's targeted looting, either destruction and or looting. The problem that comes in is it can be specific looting, but then others, because this looting is happening, you'll see other opportunistic actions where other shops get targeted, for example, other buildings get targeted, or other businesses get targeted. But there are many such situations where looting is regarded as a form of protest, and it's designed as a specific strategy, but it's, in many cases it does become quite blurred.
One could argue, and putting ourselves also here on the block, sometimes the police and the media can, and I don't think it's an intentional, but inadvertently encourage more looting.
Well,
is that a
really
fair statement?
It depends on the messaging. I mean, if we go back to the days of the administration at the South African Broadcasting Services a number of years ago, Claude and Zeman's kind of leadership there, there was a decision around not to broadcast, you know, violence and protest action because it would encourage others. So, you know, there's this whole debate around, kind of communicating and showing images that may encourage other forms of looting. And indeed, that may encourage it, but it's really in which the manner in which that messaging is presented and the manner in which it's interpreted and demonstrated to others out there. So it can play a role, but it's ultimately, not necessarily. It can also play a very positive role in trying to prevent it too. But of course, if the police are not doing anything about it and it's communicated that the police aren't doing anything about looting, then that may encourage others to engage in looting. And I think that was a key problem in July in KwaZulu-Natal, where the police weren't that present, so it kind of contributed to looting happening in other areas.
I will finish off with this one SMS, and I suppose it's just a statement. I don't know if you will want to comment on that, but Elsa in Darling says, "We once saw a beer truck that overturned on the way to our village. The police were already there loading their vans with beer. Ordinary people doing the same."
Well, I mean, it's a difficult one to respond to, because it's all about context. I mean, for example, if we look at what happened in July in KwaZulu-Natal, there was images of law enforcement officials from the city of Itakwini loading goods into their vans, and all sorts of accusations were made. And it actually turned out that they were, it was there for safekeeping, not theft. So I think in the kind of circumstances, you may have individuals, including police, who may be taking the beer and alcohol for their own consumption, but they also may be putting it there as a means of protection to return it to the owner. So it's all about, we need to understand the context in more detail.
All right. Talking about context, thank you so very much, Doctor, for joining us on the show this morning. But before we let you go, your parting words to the listeners around this conversation.
Well, I think it's something around, I think the important thing is, looting will remain an issue within South Africa. I don't think it's going to go away, but I think it's quite important if we want our democracy to strengthen, as we need to ensure that we don't engage in this kind of behavior, because it does undermine our economy and has an effect on jobs. It also has an effect on, safety and security within South Africa. So I think it's been quite important that we try and kind of hold them all aligned.
Doc, thank you so very much for that. Dr. Guy Lamb, who is a criminologist, talking to us about the mindset of a looter.